Philippians 4 and verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Before we look into this text, I want to express appreciation for the invitation to come yet again. I have great understanding and sympathy with those who have difficulty hearing. I have these hearing aids. I've had them for about 2 years. They still give me a fit. So I sound like to myself that I am shouting, but I want you to hear not just me, but the Word of God. So please do not hesitate to let me know if you need me to speak a little louder. I think that I should give thanks again for the music. Two special groups this morning. But I think about the men. They deserve a badge of courage this morning for coming to sing. So, men, thank you for your contribution to our service. Now, let me take you to our text, which perhaps is a little different approach than you have heard of this text before. We have completed our Christmas events and Christmas gatherings. We've received wonderful and interesting gifts and useful things as well. But as Mama tried to teach me, now it's time to write the thank you notes. And I want to talk to you about thank you notes this morning, because the entire book of Philippians is essentially a thank you. Paul takes some little side distractions, if you will, but the thrust of Philippians is thank you to this remarkable church that met his needs while he was in prison. It is important for us to think about thank you notes and to write thank yous because it enables us to keep a perspective, a holy perspective on Christmas and what takes place at Christmas. The whole letter is involved in thanking and encouraging the Philippians. I would indicate to you my proof of that in Philippians 1. He starts out in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. He starts out at the very beginning with this emphasis on thanksgiving, gratitude, appreciation. So it's a thank you note. That theme recurs all through the book. Now, it's interesting that in Paul's letter, he seems to go to some length to de-emphasize himself and to emphasize the holy impulse of the Philippian church. As he said in our text, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. I do not write to you as though I need more. I am willing to be needy. So he has that thrust in the book as well. As I meditated on this text, I thought, here we might find the instruction for writing a thank you note. Now, we ought to write notes. We get so many emails. we just go through them, and they, even an important one, it's easy to miss it. But a note that comes in the mail, and you open it up, there is an anticipation and a greater appreciation for the expression that comes from the writer of that note. As I meditated on the text, I came up with several illustrations of what it is to write the note. In other words, an instruction manual, if you will, of how we ought to write notes to each other. The first thing that occurred to me is that a note tells the recipient, in this case the Philippian church, but if we would write proper notes, the first thing is that it tells our giver, it tells them, I'm happy with your gift because of what it says about you. I'm happy with it because, not because it's me focused, but because of what it says about you. Now, perhaps you have been surprised at some point with a remarkable gift that has been given to you, wonderfully suited, and even from someone whom you may not think means anything to you or you to them. Now, some of you maybe saw just in the last 2 weeks a remarkable story about a company in Maryland, the St. John Property Real Estate Group. I see some heads shaking. The story is longer. I'll not go into the details. But the management of this property development and management company, they had met a goal that they had set, and in response to meeting that goal, they gave to their employees a bonus. They have about 196 employees, just short of 200 employees, and they gave a $10 million bonus to those 200 employees. Now, they had a formula of some sort of what level they were, individual, how long they had been with the company, and they worked all that out. But the average amount of money given to those employees was $50,000. $50,000. Do you ever get a bonus like that? I doubt it. But that's how that management of that company expressed themselves in appreciation to the people that had worked hard to help them meet that goal. The comments of Mr. Lawrence Maykrantz, the president of the company, is interesting. He said, "It was truly one of the most amazing things I've ever witnessed in my life. Everyone was all overwhelmed with emotions. They were screaming, crying, laughing, hugging. People were lining up to hug us and kiss us and shake our hands. And they told us story after story of what they were going to use their bonus for. People are now debt-free, paying off credit cards, their mortgages, their tuition, and student loans." You notice the joy of those who received the thank you. And then you notice the thank you that they give to those who gave the bonus. The bonus was wonderful. Well, what is even more important is what it tells those employees about their employer. So this matter of a gift and the giving thanks tells a great deal about the one who has given to those who were employees, or in the case of Paul, the missionary. Now, I confess that I've not been particularly imaginative in all my years of giving great gifts to the folks that I love. But I have done it on occasion. And it's wonderful to see the response of those whom I love to a particularly special gift that I have given to them. Now, with that said, I want you to notice the trajectory of what Paul is saying here. He says in this opening, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." "I rejoiced in the Lord," he says. He traced the motivation for the giver of the gift. He traced that to the motion, the movement of the Lord in their lives. Now, I remember writing notes, "Thank you for this toy, and I'll enjoy it, and I thank you for it." That's totally me-centered. But that's not what Paul does. Paul says, "I rejoice in the Lord because of what He is doing." Even as he says at the very end, "You are a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." The thank you note tells the person thank you, but it also emphasizes the fact that that person loves you, loves the Lord, is attuned to who you are and your values. Now, this is a gospel response. And as we write notes for the things we've received, people who've blessed us, we need to figure out a way to project, like Paul, not simply to that person for what they do for me, but for that person, who they are, their love, and their love of the Lord, the love of Christmas, the love of the Savior. That needs to be reflected when we write our thank you note. Now, the Philippian church, it says in the text, was determined to send this care, but it says they lacked opportunity. Verse 10, you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now, I don't know what that lack of opportunity involved. It could have been the distance where Paul was in prison and where these Philippians were. It could have been a matter of distance. Nobody's going that way. It could have been that there was weather involved. It was winter or something. We don't know what it was. But they did not forget, Paul says. Thank you for not forgetting. Now, we tend to put people out of mind. I have on occasion, on Christmas, thought about people who have been important in my life, and I pick up the telephone and call them. Probably interrupts their Christmas morning, but yet it lets me tell them, I have not forgotten about you. That's what's going on here. They may not have had the opportunity, but they didn't forget what's going on. So, and then when Paul answers it in this letter, it's that their gift gives him the opportunity to communicate back to them, helping them to see themselves as those who have been gifted with grace, the knowledge of Christ, the sense of what Christ has done. So that's the first thing that I see. The thank you note. The thank you note communicates not just a thank you, but a sense of who they are, the recipient of that note. So that's the first thing. Now, the second thing that I think is here is that a note sent to one who has given to you, it not only communicates gratitude, but a sincere contentment. You notice how Paul goes almost to over the top in talking about his contentment. He says in verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now let me just comment here that verse, verse 13, is a verse that overwhelms this passage. It's a wonderful verse. It's a great promise to us. But in those who deal with this passage, I am a contrarian, so you see. Most everybody deals with this thing of being able to do in Christ who strengthens me. But I see a context of that. this whole matter of thanksgiving, a thank you note, a grateful spirit. And in this gratefulness, Paul is determined not to communicate to the Philippians that you've given me something. I've got an envelope here enclosed with my letter so that you can send more. He doesn't do that. He humbly expresses his contentment. Paul was in prison, and no doubt he was needy. He was needy physically, emotionally, spiritually. He needed the encouragement of those people from Philippi. A book has just been released, written by Andrew Brunson. You know Andrew. You prayed for Andrew. He was held in Turkey for 2 years or more, charged but not charged, charged but not tried, and he was in prison. And he's released this book where he talks about what he experienced while he was in prison. Now, I tell you, I haven't read the book. It's new. But Boris Wilson has it, and I've seen the book. And Boris says it's fairly graphic what it says about the things that Andrew experienced in prison. It's certainly not without understanding that Andrew was following Paul in prison for preaching the gospel. Andrew in a Turkish prison. Now, he no doubt had needs. He was a needy soul. But could he write, "I am contented"? Well, I think he had come to that place. His faith had been challenged and increased so that he wrote what I suppose could be a hymn. And let me just read a couple of verses of it, and you will see reflected his neediness. He says, "You are worthy, worthy of my all. My tears and pain I lift up as an offering. Teach me to share in the fellowship of your suffering. Lamb of God, you are worthy of my all." That's where we started this morning. We started with, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." You see, here is Andrew in prison writing this. He says, "You are worthy, worthy of my all, but my heart faints, drowned in sorrow, overwhelmed. Make me like you, cross bearer, persevering, faithful to the end, to stand the trial and receive the crown of life." What anguish he expresses. Then he concludes, "I want to be found worthy to stand before you on that day with no regrets from cowardice, things left undone, to hear you say, 'Well done, my faithful friend. Now enter your reward.' Jesus, my joy, you are the prize I am running for." Now those are the words of Andrew Brunson. And you see how he began with his anguish, his need, and he ends up with his joy in Jesus. Now that is what we need to learn to do in our thank you note, to communicate our contentment, our satisfaction in Jesus. We need to be this kind of grateful for the things we have suffered. Material gifts are worthy to be thanked. But it goes much deeper than that. The thankfulness of a believer, one who is aware of the great sacrifice of Jesus, the gift that Jesus brought in his own incarnation and death and resurrection, it begins to move out and convict us in our own thanksgiving. So we go deeper as we consider the grace that is given to us. There are greater riches by far than the things we possess. It's Jesus. Jesus is the great gift. John Maxwell is a fairly well-known preacher in circles today. But John Maxwell sort of got a little sidetracked from the gospel to talk about leadership and developing leaders in the church. And John Maxwell talks about leadership, and he says, the power of gratitude makes leaders. And he says, there are three strategies for developing gratitude. Here are the three. This is from John Maxwell, not from O. Hunt. He says, list the things. Keep a running list of things for which you are thankful. Well, you can do that. Then he said, number two, write thank you notes. Write thank you notes. I was affirmed in my thinking of all this, you see. And then third, he said, be mindful of things we take for granted. For instance, you're washing clothes one day and you wish you didn't have these repeat clothes coming through every week. And then he says, you ought to think about the people who don't have a washing machine. So think about things you take for granted. Now, that's John Maxwell's way of thinking about it. Gratitude is powerful for us. And gratitude comes into place for us when we see it as connected to our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are contented when we go and see the sufficiency of Christ. We see the sufficiency of his death, and it makes our death to self that much easier. As Andrew Brunson says, he's ready to sacrifice himself because he thinks about the sacrifice of Jesus. So we develop this humble contentment, and that can be reflected in a note which you would write, thanking people for remembering you. Lamentations 3 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. So if we, I saw a hand go up. If we will think of the sufficiency of Christ, if we will meditate upon what he has done for us, it will translate into our own contentment as we wait upon the Lord. Andrew Brunson had to wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord will serve us well too. Now, the third thing, and finally, I don't know what time it is, but it's time. I'm trying to finish, I'm sure. A note also in this whole idea of what the note means. A note acknowledges that you, the giver, share something common with the one to whom you have sent the gift. And it connects you with that person in terms of your commitment to Jesus, your sense of mission in Jesus. To share the sufferings of others is personal. To share the neediness of others is personal. But also there's this matter of purpose. Sharing, communicating that you share the purpose of my being needy, my joy in you because you have met a need that I have in gospel ministry. Now, let me give you two quick illustrations. You remember when Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea, we read in Luke, Joseph of Arimathea said, it says he was a believer, but it says he was expecting the kingdom of God. But the understanding of that is that he was a believer that this was the coming of the kingdom of God. And what did Joseph of Arimathea do? He responded by giving Jesus a tomb. Now that tomb was a special tomb because it was from that tomb that the resurrection took place. It's from that tomb that some of the greatest evidence from the resurrection is found. It was out of gratitude for the mission of Jesus that he gave the tomb. You remember also the woman who was a sinful woman, it called her. And Jesus was gathered with his disciples. She came and she fell at his feet. She began weeping and drying his feet with her hair. You remember that passage. And then the disciples complained about it. And Jesus said, but think of it this way. He who is forgiven much loves much. She is forgiven because she loved much. Now, that's the response of someone who comes sharing your mission, gospel purpose and mission. And that should be reflected in our notes to those who have served as well. Because you see, in verse 14, he says, you have done well that you shared in my distress. You've done well. That needs to be communicated. And then it's further down in 18, he says, I received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory. So when we share with those in gospel work, God exalts that. God is pleased with that. And he lifts us up when we are in that. Now, let me just conclude by saying this, that I noticed in your bulletin that you pray, you are praying for Rebecca Carson. That's one of your missionaries, apparently. You praying for Rebecca? It's in the bulletin. You better be praying for Rebecca. But beyond praying for her, why not send her a note? A thank you note. And I happen to believe that Rebecca, who is, by the way, at home right now, her place of service is in Berlin, but she's here right now. She is the only ARP missionary in Berlin. There were several others, but for whatever reason, they've left. She's alone. Do you share the sense of that aloneness of this missionary? Maybe she needs a note. And furthermore, maybe she needs a gift. A gift. No doubt she has needs getting back and forth to Berlin from here. She's here helping her parents get moved and settled in their new place to live in Hendersonville. But I'm suggesting that you could communicate by a thank you note that you are with her in her gospel ministry. Now you think about that. You think about that. As you're giving and thanking, and remember that you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. That's what he says right here. God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's there. When we have received, the response is to thank and to give. I encourage you to read this passage again with the thank you note in mind. And see what you can do with it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the great giver and you have given the greatest gift. May that gift inspire all our giving and all of our giving thanks. Help us to learn. And help us to do it, to write a note of thanks. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.